this time, report by our board members. We'll start on my left, with Mr. Delgado.
October 6th, I'm organizing a field trip to the Salinas River, and it's to have a site visit to a project site where they're doing stream channel maintenance via the Nature Conservancy's designed project, and they're in the midst of a $5 million giant reed Arundo donax removal. And it's part of a Central Coast Invasive Weed Symposium. So anyone who's interested, let me know. And you can go to the morning and have the indoor presentations, or we can work it out so you just go to the field trip down at the Salinas River. It's in between Greenfield and Soledad, the actual location. But I think that that project is so huge and so sort of transformational as far as bringing constituencies together on the same project, because they all think they're benefiting by participating, that it's, I think, a wonderful collaboration. And I think the field trip would be good if anyone's interested. That's all I have. Thank you.
If I could add to that, there's more information in the executive officer's report, supplemental number 2 on that project, the channel maintenance project.
Right. And I want to thank staff for attending. I appreciate that. To discuss the 401 process.
Excuse me. Please be sure and speak into the mic, because we have a different recording system today, and it might not be as finely tuned as the one we normally use. And so you got to be right up against the mic so that we can hear every little word you say for posterity. Thank you.
Close enough. Ms. Gray?
I do not have anything to report. Thank you.
Mr. Young?
Nothing to report.
Mike?
Hold this down. There we go.
Hi.
Let's see. September or August 23rd, I attended the regional board's workshop at the Salinas Ag Commissioner's office on the ag order. Was very well attended. There were probably 40 people there, I'm guessing, 35, 40 people. From the ag community, by and large, a lot of questions, in particular, some questions about, are there ways we can exclude, organic farmers from some of the reporting on, chemicals that they don't use anyways, some real enthusiasm for the concept of dropping, photo reporting. Some real interest in the concept of changing the reporting dates so that they don't occur either at a time that's extremely busy for farmers or at a time that doesn't make sense in terms of the cropping and field rotation cycle. So that was very interesting. And I in the news this month from Pinto Lake. Pinto Lake was closed for the second time on September 13th after at the city parks dock they recorded a high level of microcystin. There's a lot of controversy still as far as what is an appropriate level or what should be the threshold levels for recreational contact. But the level they measured at the city dock was 25 times the World Health Organization's recommended level. And it was 20 parts per billion, and that recommended level is 0.8 parts per billion. Elsewhere on the lake, they measured it at 1 part per billion. They think it's because the floating island has now lodged, it's taken up its winter quarters. Right in front of the boat ramp, so it kind of creates a sort of enclosed area there. The problem is that that's also where the outfall is that leads out to the Monterey Bay from the lake. So The a couple other Pinto Lake items we approved, or the executive officer approved, it was on our last agenda, a couple of projects that the RCD is doing along with Santa Cruz County at the county park end of the lake on CCC Creek and Amesti Creek to put sediment retention structures in. Because the phosphate bearing sediment is a lot of what drives the algae in that lake, and I happened to talk to RCD folks, and they're getting going on one of those right now. They just got their Army Corps of Engineers their final permit, one of them will be done this fall. The other one, when they get the money, probably early next year. There is a someone from UC Davis that I've met with and am trying to help do some recruitment for, who is a doctoral student in public health and used to work at the Santa Cruz County Health Department, who's doing a six-month study interviewing on a weekly basis, recreational users and people who live around the lake, to try and track their health during a 6-month period. Turns out a lot of the what they think may be impacts from microcystin can crop up a week or 2 weeks later. You know, the classic flu-like symptoms. So that she's trying to do a substantial study on that. Finally, the city of Watsonville got bids back on the money that the state board had given them to do an alum treatment of the lake bottom to try and lock in the phosphates. And the bids came back substantially higher than they had anticipated. So now they are trying to make some decisions between doing a partial treatment or hustling another $250,000, and I'm going to be hooking up city staff with regional and state board staff to try to talk about that. That's about it.
Thank you for your report, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. See, I also attended the ag workshop that was held in mid-August in Santa Maria. So many of the same issues were covered that Mr. Johnston reported from the Salinas group. It was also well attended, and I think the discussion was very positive and very constructive in terms of feedback from the community, in terms of changes. And many of them had to do with issues regarding the timing of reporting, but from what I understood and from staff comment, didn't reflect any kind of reduction or elimination of any type of data being reported, but simply a better cycle and syncing up with farm operations and what might make it a little bit more efficient for the farmers to do their annual and biannual reporting. So I think I was very glad that I had the opportunity to attend these outreach workshops. I know that staff is planning to continue to do these, and I will attend as I can to continue to hear the dialogue. Typically, I report to the board on environmental justice issues, and so I have 4 items that I'm going to report on. It'll be brief. But I think, again, some very important work going on. And just generally, I would say that, well, we have been very active in identifying and working with environmental justice and disadvantaged community issues in our region. This work is going on statewide, and there's some very interesting work that's developing that, again, I think in modeling what these problems look like, what possible solutions look like, the number of agencies that are involved and often have to be coordinated or coordinating their activities and their jurisdictions, we're learning a lot about how these processes work in order to get to solutions. Sometimes what looks good on paper takes a lot more work than initially perceived. But I will start with San Gerardo, which is a community we've been involved with in looking at, assisting, and supporting in many ways. But in particular, recently, they discovered that the city of the county of Monterey was considering putting their water system up for bid, which would transfer ownership and operation to potentially a private water purveyor. So with a great deal of dialogue and involvement of our staff working to bring these issues, the details and process into the light of the situation, including the fact that the state provided $5 million of funding to create that well system that currently supplies water to that community. So bottom line right now is that the Rural Assistance Community Corporation has stepped in as a partner to the San Gerardo community and has completed a technical, managerial, and financial capacity review. And in particular, they have been able to recommend that the San Gerardo operation is well managed and is, in fact, financially very well managed. And this, which I understand is puts them in a rare, or at least a minority of groups in terms of how well their operation is sustained. And the recommendation to allow them to own and operate their own system is the conclusion of the Rural Assistance Community Corporation. And this is really an important process, the potential for increase in water bills, a potential for losing their water system to a broader water purveyor distribution is at stake here. And we feel that this is definitely moving in the right direction. State Board is currently reviewing this recommendation and will have a final determination to recommend back to the county. And it is our hope that the county will, in the end, agree that San Gerardo will maintain its water system and continue to operate it effectively and successfully, as they have been for a number of years now. The second thing I want to report on is our UCLA project. We have three sites that it's a pilot study to install remote RO systems, reverse osmosis systems, treatment at the wellhead in three communities in the Salinas Valley. We have seen a lot of progress, but right now we are probably at the most difficult stage in looking at the permit issues with discharge from the brine stream that is a product of the RO system. So our staff is working very effectively with UCLA. We have continued to keep that dialogue going, but I know that the hurdles that the staff faces now are pretty challenging in terms of coming up with a permit that will meet regulation and as well allow this project to go forward, as it is a pilot project. So there's new precedent and new issues to be addressed in this experience. The third thing I want to report on is a new development in the AmeriCorps program. If you are familiar with that program, Governor Brown has launched a new initiative. The name of this initiative is the Civic Spark Fellowship, and it is dedicated to assisting with water quality related issues. And fortunately for us, because we have such an outstanding staff, we were able to get our application in under the deadline. This all happened very rapidly. So I hope to have more to report in December. But I understand that we've applied for an internship for two individuals, and so I'll hopefully have more details to share with you at the December meeting. But this is very good news. And I also want to comment on the aspect of bringing interns into the regional water board organization. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for young developing scientists and young professionals looking at career possibilities and exposing them to on-the-ground, real work, meaningful work, and looking at how the regional boards support and work with communities within our region. And I'm always in favor of bringing in and mentoring folks, I think we're going to be looking at a partnership, extending our partnership with the Loyampic Development Institute, LIDI, as we refer to it, and possibly sharing some of the internship mentoring with Dr. Darla Inglis. So she's an outstanding individual and would provide excellent mentoring for these young folks. So this is a very positive note. And finally, I save the best for last. We've been working as a region on a resolution in support of the human right to safe drinking water, which was a resolution passed by the State Water Board following the governor's lead in passing legislation. We are second behind Region 5 in moving forward with a resolution of our own. And our approach to this is not only to establish our principles and specific language addressing issues in our region, which will reflect the statewide initiative, but is also going to identify some particular ways in which we have already engaged with our priorities for addressing environmental justice and human right to water, to clean water, and in regard to our own disadvantaged communities. Part of our challenge has been to identify where these individuals reside. Typically, these are folks who are relying on well water and very small systems, so they're outside the municipal water drinking system. And for this reason, there are many aspects of their water supply that just are not clear, and our work and effort has come primarily from generating data or gathering data that helps to identify and give us specifics on where these where contaminated water may exist, and then get the wells tested and assist in a technical and financial way through various grants that we have. And so at this time, we are providing emergency water through this process we've undertaken to a number of families in the northern area. And so our next step is to work with a consultant to conduct a study or a characterization of the situation for the southern part of our region. And we hope to see that that effort underway sometime later this year, possibly early next year. But I think that with that effort, we will, between the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water and this additional study and the work that they've done, we will have a much better picture of the work ahead. And in particular, and the most important thing, is considering where people are actually drinking, consuming contaminated water. They have no awareness of it, and how we're going to work collaboratively with the Division of Drinking Water to help to provide at least at minimum emergency drinking water while other actions are taking place to look at more long-term solutions. So that, I conclude my report, Mr. Chair.
Dr. Hunter, you referenced three communities in Monterey County where RO systems are being put in on a pilot basis. What communities are those?
Blue Rock Apartments, Prior Farms, and the Santa Teresa Park. So these are all within the Salinas Valley. I'm not sure, and I think those are all in Monterey County.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Blue Rock Apartments is just west of Salinas. It's a very old Victorian house that has been broken out into 11 or 12 apartments. Santa Teresa is just behind, just east of Soledad, and it's a collection of small houses, and we went on an EJ trip to that location. And then Prior Farms is, I believe, just behind Chualar, just east of Chualar, and it's just a strip development along the road.
So Santa Teresa isn't going to get hooked up to Soledad? I know that was their hope.
So when we look at replacement water, it usually comes in at least two stages. The first stage is sort of the bridge to the final solution. The final solution likely is the hookup to City of Soledad, and Soledad by and large is supportive of that. But it takes probably 3 years, I'm going to guess. It's just my number. That's not a technical assessment. So it's an interim solution.
So thank you, Dr. Hunter and Mr. Johnson, for your clarification request, and also for the record, Ms. Cervantes came at 10 to 9 and is present. So thank you for joining us. And from my report on August the 5th, I participated at a San Luis Obispo County Farnborough groundwater recharge. This is a committee formed to explore stormwater capturing for groundwater recharge. And on August the 9th, I attended a Sustainable Groundwater Management Act meeting with the County of San Luis Obispo, which is in the process of addressing its five basins, which have been listed by DWR as critical, high, and medium priorities. Then on August the 24th, I attended with board member Hunter the Santa Maria Ag Order workshop, and I think, you know, the observations that have been provided by my colleagues here, you know, are very similar to mine, so I won't repeat those. Then on August the 31st, our water board organized a ag order workshop in San Luis Obispo at the Farm Bureau location. So I attended that meeting too. Point of interest is that this is the first time in some of these workshops that one was established in you know, San Luis Obispo. And the takeaway from our staff is that in the future, when we do have some of these outreach and workshops, in addition to Santa Maria and our counterparts in the northern part of the region, is that we need to include San Luis Obispo as well. Then same day, the State Water Board held at our office in Water Board office in San Luis Obispo a meeting that invited some representatives of the various San Luis Obispo basin as a meeting pertaining to the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. And if basins did not meet the deadline of June 30th, 2017, and the state would basically, the State Water Board would step in, what would be some of the decision-making, what would be the fees charged, etc. So at that meeting, where, as I stated, representative from the different basins and the county, then on September 1st, there was a Sustainable Groundwater Management Act meeting with the City of San Luis Obispo, which potentially would become a groundwater sustainability agency. You know, the acronym GSA, I'm trying to spell them out because it's a bit of an alphabet soup. Then on the 2nd, there was another, on September 2nd, another meeting at the Farm Bureau that I attended, part of these groundwater recharge program for agriculture, and with the assistance of our executive officer, Mr. Robertson, we were able to set up a conference call with the Water Rights Division of the State Board to help this committee understand better what their legal purviews are in capturing some of these water for groundwater recharge. Then on September 6th, attended one of the mutual water company, which potentially could become also a groundwater sustainability agency meeting. Then on September 7th, I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee for the County of San Luis Obispo. On September 12th, we had a lengthy meeting in preparation of the annual meeting that all the regional board members participate in Sacramento. I'm on the committee, subcommittee, helping develop the agenda for this meeting. Then on September 12th, on September the 13th, another meeting with the City of San Luis Obispo on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. And it has been a busy month on SGMA. Likewise, on the 20th, the reason being that the county is recognizing that these dates are moving very quickly, which, by the way, applies to other basins within our region, and that there is a sense of urgency to really move forward because there's a lot of work to be done. So it had been a busy month, and anticipating Mr. Johnston's question, who would say, have you had a chance to make wine during all of these meetings? The answer is yes. So that's my report. So thank you.
A question, Dr. Wolf. So what is the status of the effort to form a SGMA agency for the Paso Robles area? Is the county going to assume that role?
Thank you for that question. I think it's very relevant to the meetings that were held. There was a good reason why the State Water Board specifically invited quite a few representatives of the Paso Robles Basin to come to this meeting. And are we having plumbing issues? or maybe this is a sign of participation to our meeting, or Morse code, that's what it is. But in all seriousness, the state recognized the issues pertaining to the Paso Basin and some of the challenges that were associated with forming special legislation, and which were rejected by the voters by a very significant majority. So what the state, in a sense, was trying to share as a message is you really, really need to try to solve your problems locally. When, if we come in, we are strictly a Band-Aid, and we will charge you fees. We may also require you reduction of pumping, and the cost of developing a groundwater management plan still is not going to go away. So all this is going to do is buying you some time until you come to full compliance. So the majority of the participants who were invited by the Water Board were representatives of Paso Robles. And there is currently an effort taking place for the formation of a district, which would be different than the previous districts that were floated around, and trying to see if indeed they can meet the deadline. Now, your question in regard to the county is that on November the 1st, the Water Resource Division of the County of San Luis Obispo Public Works is going to present to the Board of Supervisors proposal in regard to how the county would be an active participant in the SGMA process and would become possibly a GSA, Groundwater Sustainability Agency, amongst the other adjacent agencies, because you're going to have little pocket areas of folks who do not quite fit in a particular district. But this is going to be presented to the Board of Supervisors, and I mean, the fact of the matter in reality, you know, as we all know, this is an election year, and you have some new seats possibly coming up, so it's pretty fluid right now. Hopefully I helped clarify a little bit your question. And
River Wolf.
Sure.
So then what is the state's deadline for deciding whether it's going to jump in and just assume the role?
Okay, by July 1st, 2017, DWR basins identified as a high and medium priority have to have presented to DWR their groundwater sustainability agencies. If they have not done by that deadline, then the state can intervene and step in as required by the legislation and required by the governor. As a little side note, is there any way we can find out if this is an all-day activity? Because this would be very disruptive at our meeting. And if it is all day, maybe we need to talk a little bit with our building folks. Thank you. Sorry.
I was just going to ask you to restate the date of the county's meeting, with the Board of Supervisors meeting.
It's going to be November 1st. Ms. Gray?
I just wanted to state there's a probationary period after which people file with the Department of Water Resources their paperwork that requires them to form a GSA, whether through an MOA, MOU, or JPA. So there are some actions that will take place. It won't be sort of a hard July 1st and then all bets are off. There's a probationary status, and there's work to do in collaboration with the county to come together and try to figure some of this stuff out.
But what the state is primary message is that you don't want to come across as you have a luxury of extra time, because this can be misinterpreted as, oh well, we can stretch it another 6 months.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think that my understanding, just in my dialogues with DWR and the state, is that they're interested in maintaining that local control. So to the extent that that's the goal, dialogue will happen. But there will be a hard probationary status imposed if there's nothing filed by the 30th of June.
So, all right. So that addresses my updates. And Mr. John Robertson, would you please cover our next item? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for asking. Ms. Cervantes?
Nothing to report, but thank you for checking, and my apologies for being late this morning.
No problem. We understand the commute traffic in the Highway 101.